ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3.
Mondays and Fridays, we get filled with wisdom. Brother Johnny today in Houston. Johnny.
Hey, good morning, Stevie.
Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer, icon, all-around great guy with the best pot roast nachos in the world.
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys, the debate number one is behind us.
Governor Romney may dance around his positions. He may do a tap dance and a two-step, but if you want to be president, then you owe the American people the truth.
The vice president blurted out the truth today. They plan on raising taxes on the American people, and that will kill jobs. We will not let that happen. We want to create jobs, not kill jobs in this country.
We want to let that trillion-dollar tax cut expire so the middle class doesn't have to bear the burden of all that money going to the super wealthy. That's not a tax raise, right? That's called fairness.
Trickle-down government will not create the jobs Americans need. Trickle-down government will not bring down the cost of energy. Trickle-down government will not allow incomes to rise.
America got to see the man I know, a leader, a decisive man, an optimistic man, a man with a plan to get people back to work.
I'm not fighting to create Democratic jobs or Republican jobs. I'm fighting to create American jobs.
All right, Johnny, your take after the debate on Wednesday.
I thought the debate went very well for Romney, and the points we've heard before, but I don't think people saw the Romney that we saw before. And I think the blitz against Mitt Romney, which was absolutely unprecedented, they were just assaulting the guy for what, 6 or 8 weeks here, unrelentingly. And I think that works. You know, Mike, you expect something, and then you see something different. All of a sudden, it gets your attention. I think that worked for Mitt Romney. The debate was great, but I think the image that was presented of Mitt Romney was so far off what we saw that I think Mitt Romney's going to get a little bit of an extra boost from the debate.
Well, you know, I people will take out of the debate, or they'll analyze it, or they'll read it any way they want to. I know one thing. Obama's not very good without a prompter. And, you know, that's basically it. I mean, if he's got a written speech, he's good at, you know, and he's a glib guy, and he's a cute guy, and he tries to tell jokes, and he tries to make Romney look stupid. But in the process, he really made himself look stupid. You know, I don't know how people will perceive it, because the media can spin it any way they want to. There's no question about that. Well, but I thought he held himself in there pretty well, and I think people who have ears that listen could hear what he said, and I think what he said made sense, because, I mean, you know, and the other thing Obama's got to do is put a muzzle on this Biden. He's an idiot. I mean, you talk about a guy that's out of control.
Well,
when he says something, he puts his whole body in his mouth.
Well, and Joe, that trillion-dollar tax cut for the rich.
Oh,
about
yeah, yeah. You, and then we're going to help the middle class, and you know, and then he does all the jab and lingo, and it goes back to this 2007 speech of Obama. You know, hey, listen, guys, you know, you see a lot of things if you really look, you know, and you listen, and but just hope it works out right.
Well, do a little math. That $1 trillion is interesting, Stevie, because there's already been all the analysis. It's $60 to $70 billion come from, quote, the rich, and it is a trillion-dollar tax cut. Guess where the other $930 billion comes from? The middle class he's protecting.
Yeah, right. Right.
$930 billion paid by the middle class if they don't extend those tax cuts, and 60 or 70 by these rich they keep talking about,
right,
quote,
yeah,
unquote. I don't even know who they are.
John, it's not reality. You know, they don't want to deal in reality. They deal in perception, which, they, you know, the people only hear certain things, so they believe it. It's not the reality of the situation. The money has to be made up somewhere, so it's made up in the middle class.
And I think you're 100% right. They deal in perception, not reality. And in this case, there was quite a jolt when people saw the real Mitt Romney versus what the image they've been presenting of him is, which is kind of wimpy, kind of mean. You better be afraid of him. Here's this very smart guy, kind of aggressive, and didn't look very scary. Steve, did
no,
he look
no,
scary?
He didn't. And everybody reaching for the reason the president was flat, the president wasn't ready, the president looked disinterested. Well, now we know. Here's former Vice President Al Gore.
Obama arrived in Denver at 2 p.m. today, just a few hours before the debate started. Romney did his debate prep in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to 5,000 feet,
exactly,
and you only have a few hours mm-hmm. to adjust,
that's interesting.
I don't know, maybe kind
training
of
at altitude. Can I say
the first time?
There you go, high altitude.
Ozone. It's ozone. It was ozone.
Ozone, altitude. Mike, that's the reason.
Well, Al Gore and Joe Biden came over on the same boat and they had to leave on the same boat.
I'll tell you.
I mean, it's just a shame. You know, like I said, I don't watch the other news outlets anymore. I just watch Fox News. So, I really can't. I every once in a while I'll go through there and you hear the Rachel Maddows. Even those people, they couldn't say anything after the debate.
Yeah,
I mean, they were.
That's true.
Yeah. So I mean, they couldn't get. The book was written about him, amateur. He is an amateur, but he is a professional. When it comes to BS and that, I mean, if you talk about personality, the guy's a wonderful guy, but it's just the BS part of it. There's no substance to it. You know what I mean? It's just a lot of spin.
Well, I was just going to say, Johnny, talk about irony. I heard Bob Beckel on O'Reilly last night. He said, and this is precious. He said, the media is not doing their job asking Romney the tough question. The media isn't doing their job against Romney. Are you kidding?
Yeah, that's a good one. Bob's funny. Now, I'll tell you, Steve, that I think Obama, honestly, was expecting Romney to kind of work himself, kind of rope-a-dope against him, and he was going to let him kind of flail his way around. He did not expect that from Romney. He was believing his own press and the image makers that were really being negative on Mitt Romney. I think he started believing that he was trying to. I think his aim was to be above it all, presidential,
kind of
condescending, and he looked instead like he was getting schooled and lectured. And it didn't work for him. And I think you'll see a different approach next time. I will say that. And I'm looking forward to that Biden Ryan debate, Mike. That should be a good. I gotta see that.
Well, it's got to be a little name calling. That's the only thing that Biden can do. I mean, you talk about a poor speech for anybody in office, let alone the Vice President of the United States. My God.
But I really think a little pressure on Ryan because there are zero expectations for the vice president in this thing.
Oh, I agree. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, but I don't think, and you're right. That's always, that helps, and that helped Mitt Romney, the low expectations.
Yeah, right.
Well, look, when George Bush got up for his first debate with Al Gore, his ability to complete one sentence in a row, everybody's like, he's a genius,
Right,
they
right.
had him so stupid by the time we started, nobody could believe that he was even halfway coherent. So low expectations are huge. And I think Romney definitely benefited from that.
All right, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, ESPN Radio here live in Urbana, 743-935-953. Mike, do you think this changes the election at all?
I think it's too early to say, Steve. I think the next two debates will really tell the tale. But I think a lot of people maybe their eyes opened a little bit. Say, wow, this guy's not all he's cracked up to be. You know, so it could be interesting.
I think the main plus was just that Romney came off by to a lot of people, and most people, Steve, I think we're either on one side or the other. But I think there were so many, and it was such a contrast that you're going to get a lot of word of mouth and a lot of buzz about how Romney looks like he can do it, actually.
Yeah. And how do you explain 60 million people? Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, of course, look, people watch TV. I mean, the Kardashians is a hit show, Steve. We got nothing else to do. We quit looking for jobs.
Yeah.
We quit looking for
them. Now, the job number is 7.8. It's under 8%. That's probably feeling good for the president to come out and say
that's a big stat for him. That really is.
Numbers at 7.8, Mike, instead of 8.1. September job unemployment rate, 7.8. Is it because people quit looking or his policies are working?
That's just what they're talking about on TV right now, the number of people who have quit looking. And, hey, listen, I mean, And it makes a little sense if you look at that some of the numbers are going to be a little more favorable right before the election, but that's fine. But, I mean, you understand, too, you know, when you look at the real truth of it, and you just explained on Fox, it's actually higher now because the number, that many more people have quit looking for work.
Yeah, I don't think the economy has generated that many more new jobs. It's because it hasn't, and so you got to look at those numbers.
You know, guys,
everything
we're talking about, you know, whether we're talking about foreign policy,
the economy's still struggling.
You know, we're talking about foreign policy, you know, internal policy, economic policy. No matter what, where has he hit the target on any of it? I mean, I don't know. You know, we have a debt that's soaring out of sight. I mean, we have no budget. We continue to blame it on the former administration. I mean, somewhere don't you have to stand up and say, okay, I got to take responsibility for my action over the last 4 years. Well, we didn't get enough done because you had both houses of Congress at one point, and you get anything done. And now you got resistance on the other side, so you just throw up your hands and say we can't get it done.
Yeah.
You got to try to work with the other side. I mean, I really don't understand what politicians are all about. You know, I think they got a BS and BS, all of them.
I'll tell you, Steve, the next debate is on foreign policy, so that'll be interesting.
Well, if you're going to cut the military like that, $500 billion went out of the defense budget. Come on, you govern through strength. I mean, that's the way you're looked at in the eyes of the world. I don't care what the Arab world looks at us, but as long as they know we're strong, then they'll stay away. When they think we're weak, be careful.
And we've seen the pullback approach. I mean, it's not like we haven't
been
trying it. 4 years, and that's a short time in history, and things have changed quite a bit. And part of that is the reduction in American influence. Yeah. And I don't think that's to deliberately pull back is probably not a good plan.
All right, let's switch to the NFL. This weekend's games, Chicago at Jacksonville, Johnny.
Well, but I don't know, Mike. You know, the Jaguars are doing better, but it's tough. It's a tough league. And
the Bears are a good football team, guys.
They are
a much better team the other night. They've got a good defense. They've got a very good special team. And the key to what they do, they're going to go as far as Cutler takes them, because if he doesn't turn the football over, this is a very, very good football team. I mean, you know, if you have to go out and beat them and they don't beat themselves, it's going to be hard to do. I like what they're doing right now. I hope they can keep Forte healthy. But I think what they're doing now, they're doing some good things. If they can protect Cutler and just don't turn the ball over, that's the key to what they're doing.
In the game last night,
I picked St. Louis.
Oh,
now, the Cardinals, you know, they have a 4-0, but I picked St. Louis to win.
Hmm.
Because St. Louis, I mean, Jeff Fisher's going to have those guys ready to play football. They're a tough defensive football team. They're not on all cylinders on offense. They lost the receiver last night, but I'm just telling you, he'll have them playing defense, and they'll play up against anybody now. They're sitting at 3-2 right now, too. So they're looking a little bit better, too, at this point. So, I mean, I look at, you know, and I think when you look at teams like Atlanta, I mean, they're a good football team. There's no question about it, but they're going to get beat. The best team I see right now is Houston.
Wow.
I really like what they do because they're balanced.
They're balanced, and there's just not a lot of teams that are that balanced. It's hard to have a good defense and a good offense. You look at three of the best offenses ever, Green Bay, New Orleans, and New England, they don't have very good defenses. It's hard to have that balance. So I think it's right.
How do you explain all this amazing parity? Is there another professional league with this much parity, Mike?
We saw it in the Ryder Cup. You know, it ain't over till it's over. You find, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. I went through all this stuff. I used all this stuff in New Orleans. It didn't work. What happened, John?
Well, you were there. Look.
Where there's
a will,
there's a way.
Hey, I'm telling you.
Evidently,
there
wasn't very much will, was there? Well, and no,
some
I'm
of that,
saying,
too.
John, I think the example, Steve, look at college football. Look at these small schools. Look how well they compete against these so-called major schools or big powers. I mean, why? Because there's good athletes everywhere. Some of them don't get to go to Michigan or Notre Dame or Penn State or Illinois. They get to go to Western Kentucky or Murray State or whatever. and they're good football players. And then you put a good program together. And hey, this is pretty good. These people over at Louisiana Monroe or wherever they are, I'm just using that name, they're not a bad football team.
I'll tell you, the free agency and the ability to move around, it's not sometimes as much fun for the fans because you have these guys on the team forever, but make for an even league.
The organizations have got to use good judgment. I mean, I'll give you an example. You talk about the free agency, so they can't keep forever. What about the guys at Houston lost? Murray Williams and the other kid. Now, they aren't even missing them. Why? Because a football team isn't about one player. Yeah, you can say, well, it's a little bit about the quarterback, but it's about the way you build that team. And I think that's a lot of what they're missing in New Orleans. They're building the guy who put the blueprint together to build that team. Then they're missing the guy that he gave the rein to run that defense. And their defense down there, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what that is. Maybe that's soccer defense.
Hey, let me ask you about the New Orleans game Sunday night, John. And Mike, this feels really weird to me that Sean Payton, under house arrest, has to get permission in the NFL to go to a stupid football game. This is crazy.
Well, it's pathetic. It really is. I mean, it makes no sense at all, and I think the commissioner's going down the wrong road here. Very, very much so. Sean Payton's a good man. Under house arrest, I mean, what do you mean? Come on. I mean, he didn't do anything. He didn't do a damn thing. There was no blame to go to Sean Payton. None.
It is kind of bizarre.
He's part of this thing, and he's been proven guilty said he's guilty without being proven. And that really bothers me, that part about it. The general manager, what the hell did the general manager have to do with it?
Well, and I think, too, Mike, there's a lot of people. We talked about when they were on strike, and there's a lot of people affected by that, and I think it got to be a little personal with Goodall, and I think he didn't take the big picture. First of all, the Saints were, for once, quite an asset to the NFL, and he's kind of dismantled the franchise, and I hope we can even come back from it.
I think the commissioner has an obligation and responsibility to keep the game right. I think in this situation, he overused his power because I think he picked on the wrong people. Now, people don't understand this, but I've been in football for a long time, and I can honestly say that sometimes, the offense doesn't know what the defense is doing, and the defense doesn't know what the offense is doing. Sometimes, even though you say, well, he's the head coach, he should know everything. Well, so some things that might go on in a defensive meeting that you don't know. I'm just telling you, things are brought up. I mean, it happened when I was coaching. I'm just telling you, it happens. I would say the only person I've ever seen that knew everything that was happening was Coach Landry because he ran the offense and he ran the defense. Oh. I mean, it was that simple. So he knew everything. But when you're not in a defensive meeting as a head coach, and Sean was an offensive coach, he was an offensive coordinator, so you're spending all your time with the offense, maybe a little bit with special teams, but you give that defense to your defensive coordinator to run, you're not in those meetings, so you don't know what's said. And all of a sudden, he said, okay, he knew about it. I don't know if he knew about it. I don't think he knew about it at all.
And then, too, Mike, if you did want to make a statement or something, okay, so suspend the guy for four games. But, gee, many Christmas. They took out the GM and the coach for a year.
It's wrong. It really is. I mean, you really stunt a guy's earning power. Worse than that, I think you hit him in his reputation. And if you know Sean Payton and you know him, John, and I know him, and that's a lie. It's wrong.
Well, I mean, but how can you? Why do you have to ask permission of Roger Goodell to go to a football game? My goodness, are you going to flash signs from the?
I think you have a problem there. I think that the league is overstepping its authority. There's no question about it. I mean, I have no idea why you would have to. I think the reason that they're asking though is because they're afraid that if they don't ask and he does go, they'll get in more trouble.
Yeah, he's flashing signs down to the sidelines. He's cheating. He raised his elbow.
Really? Yeah, he's. Yeah, I mean, it's so childish that, sometimes the people in power don't get it. And in this case, the commissioner doesn't get it. It has
I got
to
tell
do
you, too, Mike, from a...
Or having any influence on the team, it has to have with him doing watching his the team that he assembled try to play football.
Too, Mike, there's another angle, which is that it means a lot to the city. The NFL has done a great job integrating the name of their team with the city, and they follow them. And I got to tell you, there's 160 suite owners that invested about $30 million this year in this, and I'm not hearing enough evidence to merit destroying the product, because we're promoting New Orleans. And Sean, too bad for Sean, and I don't know what he told the guy to make him mad, so I'm not that happy with Sean, but I think Mike's right. He's probably more innocent than guilty. But I think it's just a total out of bounds and overuse of the commissioner's office. And the owners need to look at that, because that's just over the top there.
The worst thing you can do is take the fans for granted. Because, this product is nothing without the fan. Any sport is nothing without the fan. The sports fan makes everything work. So when you start taking the fans for granted, be careful. Because, if they say, okay, I can do something else besides go to an NFL football game on this Sunday. I can do something with my family or my kids, or go to a softball game. Then be careful. I'm just telling you, that's where it starts. When apathy sets in, they say, well, it's not that important. Or they look at the way some of these players act on the field and they say, I don't like that anymore. I don't want to watch that stuff. Then you can understand it.
Well, Mike, we're going to be watching you all weekend on ESPN. You do a terrific job on the NFL. You look great, sound great. You rate great. You're just doing a terrific job for ESPN.
Well, I think you're my new agent, that's for sure.
Hey, Mike, I got a question. Can we, we're playing in the Dome Sunday night. Can we beat San Diego? Can the Saints beat
You can, John, but San Diego's not a bad football team right now. Hmm. I think the only way you're going to beat them, you've got to play better defense, and you've got to rattle Phillip Rivers, and I don't know how they're going to do it, because they have no pass rush.
Yeah, we don't have a pass rush.
He
makes
a
point, Steve.
I sat there and watched them play defense. It's not Drew Brees. It's not their offense. They're in a catch-up mode all the time, John. So they're playing from behind. All of a sudden, you got to catch up. Then you'll make mistakes. You will.
Yeah. All right, guys, we'll leave it there. Talk to you Monday. Johnny in Houston, Mike in Chicago, thanks so much.
Thank you, guys.
Take care. God bless you.
God bless you.